You are listening to the Inside ECAC Hockey Podcast with Bertie Corbett.
Well, welcome everyone to this week's edition of Inside ECAC Hockey. Bernie Corbett pleased to be joined on the men's side this week as we continue profiling the coaches from both the men's and women's ECAC with Coach Ron Fogarty. Ron Fogarty of the Princeton Tigers off to a 2-1-1 start. Ron, we welcome you in, and so far, a pretty good start here. Obviously, the Ivy League teams, a little bit of a disadvantage in getting started late, but you've had the advantage of, I guess, playing on a little bit more of a level playing field, the fact that you've opened with four Ivy League opponents so far and done pretty well so far with the 2-1-1 start.
Yeah, it's a good start, and your schedule is what it is, no matter when you start or hopefully you're finishing later than the majority of the teams as well, too. But we've been in four close games, and I like the way that we started this season. And it's a big momentum one for us to win in the shootout down at Harvard. And now we're looking forward to take on the defending ECAC champs this week and top 10 school in the nation in Cornell.
Going back now, just over the first two weekends, you mentioned about Harvard. A lot of good things to take out, I'm sure. Outshot them by a 2-1 margin, had a big margin in the third period. Was able to get going on the power play with a big power play goal in that game. And a little revenge, I guess, for the team that swept you in the quarterfinals and ended your season last year.
Yeah, about last year, Bernie, it's every year is a new year. You have a new team makeup. So our thought going into our first six games is about trying to win an Ivy League championship. That's based on regular season standings, and five or six games are against Ivy League foes, so that you have to win one before you win two. But that one going counting as a tie, we still got points on the road, and it's as in any college hockey building, it's very difficult to win on the road, and to get that extra point in league was big. But we have a handful of Boston and Massachusetts players. So when they go back home, we have a great following, and our guys are very excited to play against Harvard. And that was a great way to start the new year for sure.
And against Dartmouth, you went on the road up to Dartmouth, got down, showed resiliency, came back, rallied late, and just a kind of a wild exchange in the final minutes to be on the short end of that one.
Dartmouth's a very good hockey team, and you can see from the results so far early in the season as well. And they're a team that plays extremely hard and extremely detailed in their structure and systems. And that was a difficult game for us. And in trying to create any momentum in the middle of the rink, they do a great job of, pushing opponents to the outside. And it's tough to get to their goaltender, and he takes up the majority of the net. So you have to get in tight to find the holes. But to lose that game after being resilient and clawing ourselves back into the game with the extra attacker goal was disheartening. And like I said, just to even get it to overtime to secure a point would have been big for us. But this past weekend, we got back to our winning ways. And, that first weekend was good. We saw a lot of things that we can build upon, and we'll continue to do so even after a successful weekend in this past one.
It's certainly a successful weekend. You mentioned this past weekend, you were back at home. Took care of Yale 5-4 game. You got up 4-2. They rallied. You were able to come back. And again, the early season, the power play, really a big factor for you. Anytime you can hit 2-for-5 on the power play, you're probably going to get a W. And that translated into a W with a couple of big goals in that one.
You see teams that move on into league tournament play, and obviously the national tournament are going to have a combination of the power play penalty kill be over 100%. And that's our goal for our team this year. And our power play is carrying us for the first four. We have to continue to get our numbers up and do a better job on our penalty kill. But the percentages are great because you're showing that you're scoring across the season, but the timing goals are more important. We got back into the game because of a power play early. And then, Yale showed their resiliency as well. And then it was just a tremendous individual effort at the end of the game by Adam Robbins. And, and he's been featured on SportsCenter Top 10 now twice in a season and in the past two seasons. So to get those individual efforts are key. And, but the power play is going, keeping us in games and getting ahead. And just hopefully that continues. And It's very difficult to see power plays continue over 30%, but in the 20s would be very respectful.
You're probably not going to be 38.5, but you take the high 20s or close to 30. You could certainly scale it back and still probably be pretty successful.
Yeah, it's better than being in the teens for sure.
Yeah, no question. And follow that up, another close win against Brown. Different type of game. You got down early, you came back, you tied it late, and ended up with the 3-2 overtime victory. So you did pick up the extra points there against the Brown team. All indications are parity in the ECAC seems to be a big factor this season and probably be a theme all the way to March.
Yeah, talked to some different coaches across our league. We just feel that, you know, the teams that were, you know, in the bottom half of the standings last year have gone better. Still have to chase, you know, Quinnipiac national champions. But every night is a grind. And we're fortunate. Brown had an opportunity with St. Louis and on the doorstep, and he missed an open net. And that would extend the lead at a point to be 3-0. And that's going to be very difficult to come back against anybody. And then, you know, we were fortunate enough to get the extra attacker goal again against Brown and got lucky on a sort of a bad change on their behalf and sprung our one of our players in for a breakaway. But, I look at our conference as a whole and, you know, anybody can beat anyone on a given night. It's just so tough. And when you play a different opponent, you know, Friday and Saturday, you know, and how unique the teams are in the ECAC and their strengths and their identities, you have to be able to win in different ways. And we found ways to do that. We have two different style of teams coming into Baker Rink this weekend with Colgate and Cornell, and you have to be adaptive to win in college hockey in any conference, but more particularly in the ECAC when you are playing two different teams on a weekend. You have to, have a game plan going into Friday, and then, you know, less than, you know, 18 hours, you have to prepare for a totally different opponent.
Yeah, looking back also as far as honored players here in the early season, Tyler Rubin, co-defender of the week, and big offensive contribution. Not many teams, Ron, are successful anymore without getting offense from the back end just to the nature of the game now, and he certainly was a big factor for you on the offensive side.
Tyler's has the ability to get up with the play and shows a great offensive awareness and to get the accolade of co-defender or defender of the week. It also shows his defending ability. He's been plus for us through this year and been on, you know, more, you know, the power play has been on there getting some of his points, but what he's doing 5-on-5 is very valuable for our team. And there, I think just from the first four games, there could be a lot of different players that, you know, can receive award. Everyone's been so valuable to us. We have a pretty good balance scoring right off the bat with, I think it's seven players at either a point or over a point a game. So if we continue that offensive ability and hopefully it doesn't dry out, we might be able to go for a run.
Is that how you envisioned it coming in, knowing that I did the numbers there, 19 of the guys back representing almost 800 games of experience. So you knew you had some guys that had been through it in the ECAC, been through the rigors, knew what to expect. So this is something that you kind of planned that, hey, we could be a very balanced offensive team, difficult to just take one line or one guy out.
We feel we have three lines that can contribute, you know, and those top nine forwards, they can be interchangeable. And we have done that for the first four games. And, you know, we don't have the fifth year seniors or the transfer portal ability to utilize here at Princeton, but we have two players and Nick Seitz and Adam Robbins who sat out during COVID, took the year of absence. Mm-hmm. So they're coming back essentially for a fifth year being around our program and you know, them adding to that group of seniors has helped us. And I went back and played junior and that experience, you know, is showing already. And they're already in the top of our scoring to help us. But having, you know, it for our program, you have classes that are very similar in numbers of six or seven, but we have a kind of lopsided class with our sophomores and our seniors this year. So for us to go through different experiences already for our younger guys is valuable. You know, being behind and being above in the leads or behind the leads is critical to learn that right now and having the even keeled on the bench. But having a little bit more seniors than we're accustomed to in the past is helping as well too for the young guys.
And you had in terms of the improvement from guys that you look to and the development from year to year, also noticed that you had a number of guys, look about eight guys that had career years and last year that are all returning. Yep. You look to these guys to take another step in terms of what you saw from them, even in the off season, in terms of what they were doing to build and develop.
Bernie, that's what we just indicated is one of our pillars here at Princeton is developing and having career years. We had last year, all but three of our players had career years. And, mm-hmm. you know, this year we're looking for everyone to take another step, and it's big, and it's very difficult, you know, to have a career year, year after year. You know, we've had now 11 guys been at NHL camps over the past 2 years as free agents. So we know we're doing our job, and by seeing the numbers and seeing the wins. You know, last year we were one game below 500 entering into February, and we had a couple key injuries that were setbacks, but still had the resiliency to win a big playoff series against Union. To have the opportunity, as you mentioned before, to play against Harvard on the road, who eventually ended our season. But for development and working with our players day by day and having conversations with them and collaborating with our players, I believe that gives them the opportunity to have career years year after year. And that's big for our program. And as I mentioned, we're not going into the portal. We don't have players.
Yep.
We don't have players who are leaving us. Our guys are dedicated once they commit here to spend the 4 years, and they know they're not going to look over their shoulders to have someone come in through their development process. We believe in our players through the recruitment. We believe through their four seasons with us. And having career years is very important for our success, Bernie.
No doubt about that. Give us some insight about the Gorman family. If there's a first family of Princeton hockey, I guess they're pretty close there. They've spanned a couple of generations now. And if you talk about Princeton hockey, almost kind of the face of it, you can think of the Gorman family.
Yeah, they have become the face in recent years. And I've gotten to know Sean very well through my appointment here as head coach, and had the opportunity to work with the Liam. And he was very important for our culture last year as a captain. And now he's gone to play his fifth year at a different school. As you know, and to have Brendan here having a very good season, which mirrored Ryan Kuffner's class of 19. So to have kind of, you know, skilled players, maybe more skilled than Sean, you know, come to us is satisfying to have the right end of the Gorman family. But Brendan is a thirst for the game. He's been to a pro camp as well. After his first year, he's always at the rink asking for more. I think the sum up the Gorman family is very thirsty for knowledge, want to succeed, and the best part about the entire family is just tremendous people.
And the guy that led you in goals last year with Jack Cronin with 12, he's just won so far in the first four games. But do you see a pretty high ceiling for him, Coach, as far as where he can get to in terms of being an offensive threat for you?
Absolutely. He's, you know, if you had the third assist count, he'd be leading our team in points. He does so much in the defensive zone, his positioning, allowing, you know, turnovers. And he's very quick to transitional situations of jumping on pucks. And he's done a great job. You know, if Kai Daniels, the first year player, already had 4 points, two goals, two assists, and he's anchoring that Jacobs and Cronin line. But Jack is a threat every time he's on the ice, and I expect he will match or exceed his totals from last year, because he always puts himself in the best offensive positions possible through his commitment over the last summer to get stronger and his work ethic.
And of course, we kind of saved the most important here for last as we're breaking down the team, and that's goaltending. Pearson had a season-ending injury last year against St. Lawrence. You mentioned that was certainly crushing for the team at the time. Prospects for the team were derailed at the time. You got it back going again. But as far as the goaltending position this year, you've got three. They've all played. How is that sorting out in terms of the competition among the three?
Yeah, it's unique. I had an old coach tell me if you have three goalies, that means you don't have one.
Don't have one.
So you're in trouble. but I see it as a different luxury right now to have three who are very capable. I'm glad that Arthur Smith and Connor Callahan have already had their First career saves and first career win. Our guys love playing in front of them. And it gives a little more fire to Ethan Pearson to keep developing, you know, and not to, to believe that the net is his, that there's going to be a challenge for it. But, you know, as Ethan coming back as a junior who's really only played, half a season of hockey in his first 2 years, and only played one game as a first year player. He's still learning and he's developing. But with his mentorship and being a tremendous teammate for Smith and Canahan doesn't go unnoticed. He wants the net, but he's always helping out the two first-year players. So it's something we'll just have to see. They all technically have one win under the belt. I know the shootout win for Pearson counts as a tie, but it most definitely felt like a win. But it's something that we're grateful to have three goalies that can compete.
And we mentioned about Ruben also on the decor. You had a guy with 17 points last year on the decor. You've had contributions there. Your overall involvement with developing that decor and how you see them at this point as opposed to where you might have had their expectations at this point in the season. Are you happy with their progress to this point early in the year?
Yeah, absolutely. Tommy Davis works with our defense, class of 17. And we're really working on the defensive part of the game with them. You know, we know our core can all get up in the rush and skate, but mm-hmm. you still have to defend. And if you look at our goals against right now and our save percentage, that is not the best, and it's in the bottom, near the bottom. And we have to continue to do a great job in the red zone and our first touches and our transition from defense to offense and our D zone has to be better. We recognize that and we're continuing to work on it. But with that group, I love what they bring to our team with their involvement in the offensive rush. I believe we are a fast team, and we can just clean up a little bit more in our defensive zone. We won't have to rely on the power play or getting to four goals a game, Bernie. So that's something that we recognize early on in the four games, and we'll continue to strive to be better in our own end.
You alluded to the expectations with what's up next with Colgate, Cornell, and say different styles that you face. Conspicuous by the absence on the Colgate bench will be one Don Vaughn, not only your former coach, but a guy that you spent 3 years with as an assistant coach, big influence on you. Would be remiss if I didn't get a comment about Coach Vaughn and his career at Colgate and what it meant to you in terms of your playing and your coaching development.
Yeah, Bernie, there's no question that I would not be here without Coach Vaughn. And I call him Don. He's very close, and his family's close to my family. Mentor to me, playing for 3 years, and then the transition to coaching. Not many coaches would have a player come back after 1 year and be immersed in coaching, but... as you see with, I think it's with the ECAC coaches and, with the guys we have in oppositions and in their buildings, that all the coaches are here to really develop people. They have great hockey players, and Donnie is the best in that. You look at his, what he's done for people around the game, not just the players, but the people that support the program, the community, very immersed within the Hamilton, New York community. We just lost someone close who's always been there, and Bob McGaugh passed away last week. And he was very influential in my life as well, too, being a worker and a coach at Colgate. But Donnie brought those people around and had them around the rink all the time, and star rink, and now the 65 rink, where they got to know the players and they got to know the coaches and helped out each other to grow as people. But he fostered that environment and he nurtured that environment. And because of that, I became a better person, my three last years at Colgate, and when I coached there for three, but even beyond that, I can pick up the phone and call him and call those people that impacted my life as being a young adult. And that's what coaching's all about, and everyone's striving for the wins and losses. But when you make an impact on a person's life, that lasts a lifetime. That championship's going to last a night, and that's going to be a banner. But Donnie does that, and he continues to do that right now. And you see the coaches that have been tremendous that Donnie's had as a player and been around. And He's someone that it's going to be different to see probably Friday. I'm going to be glad not to see him there because he has a winning record against me. So I'm happy that he's gone. Maybe might share some insights. He's not behind the bench, but no, you probably attribute this whole show to Donnie Vaughn and have all the other coaches in ECAC and college hockey speak volumes of what a tremendous person he is. And again, you know, he just epitomizes what a coach should be, is making impacts on people's lives for the betterment and their growth to be a better version of themselves.
Indeed, well said. And was he the coach that said three goalies, you don't have a goalie? I'm just guessing. You said an old coach. Was it him or was it somebody else?
No, it wasn't him. That'd be Mark Morris.
Clarkson. Okay. All right. I just figured I'd take a shot anyway, you know. Yeah. Ron, best of luck moving forward this weekend, the next challenge up with Colgate-Cornell coming up. And then you'll have a little road trip. You head out to Columbus, I believe. You head out to Ohio State after that. So a little bonding trip for the team there to get on the road.
Yeah, and, you know, that's always fun to play the non-conference games. But as you know, Bernie, our focus is the new-look Colgate team coming in on Friday night, and that's our mission is to knock off the defending ECAC champions. And Ohio State, and it doesn't matter who you play. We're playing UNH later in the season, and they're off to a tremendous start, too. So as it is to win, it's tough to win games in the ECAC. That sentiment's echoed for any team you play in college hockey. But right now, it's Colgate, and we just want to continue our winning ways here.
Ron, thanks very much. We appreciate you joining us here today. And after, it's kind of like peeling an onion, what I found out before we went on, I just have to wish you, may the horse be with you.
You too, Bernie. The All faster right. ones, obviously.
Absolutely. Particularly the quick ones. Ron Fogarty joining us here, our guest here, our coach's profile on the men's side this week on Inside ECAC Hockey. Welcome back, everyone, to this week's edition of Inside ECAC Hockey. Inside ECAC Hockey on the women's side this week. It's a pleasure to be joined by Mel Ruzzi of the Brown Bears. And Mel currently 5-5 on the season, 10 games, 8 of them in league play, and even 4-4 in ECAC play. And always a treacherous minefield of navigating ECAC hockey, which we will talk about. Mel, welcome. It was a pleasure to meet you about 5 minutes ago. But as it happens, we do have some common ground in the world of college hockey. We can maybe get to some of your connections later.
Okay. Thanks for having me, Bernie.
Well, business at hand here at the present time. Coming off an impressive weekend, not easy to sweep in ECAC play, but you were able to pick up a sweep of the visitors from the Capital District with RPI and Union. And defensively, very solid. 2-0 shutout on Saturday, a game that you had control over. And in a 3-2 game where you had to come from behind on Friday. So I would think you checked a few boxes this weekend overall. And coaches are never really happy. But I think that there was a few things that probably pleased you this weekend with coming up with all the points.
Yeah, I mean, I think going to Friday first, we knew that RPI was going to be just a sound team. I think Coach Vines does a good job with his squad every year. They're a hardworking team. They're an old team, a lot of grad students, a lot of seniors at the top of their lineup. And so we knew that they'd be prepared, and they played some really close games in league and out of league. So I was really actually really happy and proud of the team and, coming back and being able to close out that game. I think the most important moment for us was closing that game out. I think RPI kind of pulled their goalie, got their goalie out for extended period of time at the end of the third period there, and to block shots and to come up with big saves and make plays at the end to close it out was critical for us, for our confidence, and to show that we can finish a game.
And had a power play goal in the game. You know, one thing that I always look at with coaches, and I don't know why more isn't made of it, but I always look at your man up and your man down situations. And boy, through 10 games, you're plus 17. I think that says a lot about your team discipline, about staying out of the box. And if you can operate at that level, chances are you're going to be pretty successful in winning that special teams game.
Yeah, I mean, it's critical, because those are those moments where you've got to keep your composure. You have to stick to your details. You can't get too wily when you're on the power play. You can't grip the stick too tight when you're in the kill. Certainly 6-on-5, 5-on-6, like those are moments where you need composure. I'd like to say you want to lean on veterans, but I think we got people throughout our lineup, freshmen through seniors that play in big moments. And so I think we're really fortunate to have some really strong-minded women in our locker room.
And some great numbers for your starting netminder for Kayla Doyle. Can you give us a little bit of a perspective about that position?
Yeah, experience is really important, especially in our league, right? You alluded to it earlier. There's so much talent up and down, our standings board. And so Kayla Doyle has played a lot of hockey. You know, I've been here 3 years. She's played the vast majority of the games, especially last year and in the start of this year. And so her experience is really important. She's a competitor, but she's also stays within her game. So, you know, I talked about staying calm and playing to the moment. I think she's someone that just stays within herself, good at playing pucks, really, really steady. So for her defensemen, for her forwards, for her whole team, she's a calming influence from the net.
When I talk to the Ivy League coaches on Inside ECAC Hockey, it is a different discussion from some of the other coaches. And you talked about the presence of the transfer portal and grad transfers and where that's a bit of a hamstrung situation for the Ivy League. But in terms of your program, this is year three. You've had now a third year to work with the players that came in with you. What about the overall development as you see that learning curve with you, your system, and the progress that these players have made to this point?
Yeah, I mean, you know, part of it is recruiting and talent. Part of it is buy-in. A big part of it is really buy-in. If you look at, you know, our PK, for instance, those first kids over the board are seniors. While they're not players that we recruited, they're players who are absolutely bought in. They play hard. They're very, very smart players. And so we're at a point now where we're really a lot of trust and faith in our upperclassmen. I think some of the point getters on our team are some young kids, and that's okay. That's exciting too. But I think we're at a point now where we've established a lot of trust in our program, where our upperclassmen are doing a lot of the important gritty minutes down the stretch.
And overall, you mentioned about the development of this team and the progress that you've made. I mean, every coach, I always say when coaches come in and take over a program, the plan is how many years do you have on your contract? You got a 3-year plan, you got a 4-year plan. When am I going to get that next contract? I'll talk about it. But overall, you came in, your body of work in terms of improvement. I mean, you look back to last season and once again, navigating the ECAC with the number of elite national caliber teams. He had the winningest season. I think it has to be noted in what 15, 16 years, all the way back to 07 for Brown. So do you see it as somewhat on schedule with what you did last year and what you have to build on this year?
Yeah. I mean, in many ways, I think, you know, giving our juniors more experience and growing them for our sophomores. So I think like a big part of it is development. It is building trust. But I think it's also, you know, continuing to bring in a higher level and jumping off point of talent. So I think we're on a great path right now. But you alluded to it, like our league is so deep. We're still another year away from having to play like grad students over and over again. Like, you know, we sort of laugh at it. Like we line up, remember last year we played an overtime game against Princeton and Princeton started two seniors and a junior, one of which was a, national team player. And then we lined up three freshmen to start the 3v3 overtime. And it's just, you know, that's just the way it is. Yep. And, you know, we're heading off to Clarkson and they've got, I think half their team might be transfers and grad students. And so it's just, we're used to it now. We know we're young and that's okay. And I think our young kids have, they're pumped. They have a chip on their shoulder. They want to prove something. And so it's all the story that we tell and what our players buy into.
And that development is, it's that proverbial baptism by fire. You're thrown into the fire and you're gonna sink. There's going to be a sink or swim quality to it. And that's going to be a growth experience. No doubt about it.
Well, Bernie, you hit on, it's so important. Like we don't carry a huge roster. So when women come here, they're going to play, you know? And I think having those experience, you know, I think you look at some of the people like India McDaddy and Jada Gill and Ellie Gauvin, who are sophomores now. They're like veterans because they played in big moments all last year, you know? And so it's not like they're sitting and waiting to play. And even our freshmen this year, they're playing on the kill. They're playing in special teams. They're playing at the end of the game. And I think that's really important. Like we don't have people who are just sitting here and waiting for their chance. You know, like when you come here, you got to be ready to play.
You mentioned about India and Jade, they're topping, and I guess no surprise to you, topping the score sheet for you. Just some perspective about them. And do you see, and even they can even go higher, that they even have a higher ceiling for you as far as what they can accomplish for you this year and leading your offense?
Yeah, I mean, they better have a, you know, higher expectation.
they better, yeah.
I say that because these are young women. I mean, I think Jade, I think they're both might be 19 right now. They're young kids. And I think that, you know, the sky's the limit for both of them. I mean, I think Jade is someone everybody knows now. She's had some experience with Hockey Canada, and I think she will continue to earn and fight for more chances there. And she deserves it. She's such a smart player. She's so gifted. She's a strong skater. She can do so many things. I think people in our league know India McDaddy. I think nationally they should know her. She made a huge jump already this year. I think she was knocking on the door from a statistical standpoint last year and didn't get the same number of goals that maybe Jade got, but my God, India shooting the puck like a champ, and just, she's grown so much as a player. So yeah, I hope that for the rest of this year and two more years, we're just talking about how much better they are and how awesome they are throughout the league and nationally.
You see the name Gendler, and that gets your attention right away, you know,
yes.
As far as a name in the world of hockey. As far as recruiting, I would say an advantage for you just having the bloodlines back to Minnesota and the fertile ground there in Minnesota. I mean, that's something I'm sure to your advantage, to the Brown experience for players coming out of Minnesota with your own roots.
Yeah, I mean, I want to say, yeah, I agree. We're kind of all over. Like, I think that we're a program that has a national profile. And so we don't focus our recruiting any one spot.
Oh, no, yeah, I didn't mean that. Yeah, but just, you know, I'll leg up a little bit.
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, I feel like we have a strong pull in Ontario as well. I think we love Western Canada. We certainly love some local kids too. You mentioned Minnesota. Absolutely. I think where we've kind of found our niche is finding the right people. You know, it's great players, really the right people. Brown's a really special place. Of course, it's an Ivy League institution, and so you're going to get an amazing education, but this is a really strong community. And so when we have women for a visit, it's a fit thing. Like, they walk in, they're like, yeah, I can, this feels like a second home to me. And so I think we're kind of all over North America right now. Maybe we'll get some Europeans soon too, but I feel like this is more about the type of person that we bring in.
No, I didn't mean to exclusively, don't misunderstand, you were going to go to Minnesota. I just thought, you, at least when you talk to somebody, you can speak Gopher to them. You know, you can Gopher to Gopher if you're recruiting somebody from Minnesota. You've had that experience, that unique Minnesota hockey experience.
Sure, sure.
And as you look right now at the ECAC, and it has become really daunting. I mean, you've been around this league previous with assistant coach. You spent time at Princeton, and believe what, you spent a year at Yale. So it's amazing to me as I look at this league, to the development of this league in terms of the high-end players in the league, the programs that have been dominant of recent vintage. Does it surprise you at all to see just how fast this league has developed to the point of being so elite right now?
Yes and no. I think no, because the academic standing of this league, we have this slogan, the educated decision. Like, you know, women, now we have a pro opportunity that's coming along, that's growing. But I think women continue to understand that the education is a foundation for their future. And so, yeah, we attract great athletes, and some of the best athletes in the world are also highly, highly intelligent women. I think some of the best players in the country are very, very smart women, smart hockey players, smart people. And so I think this league is unbelievable in terms of opportunities throughout the 12 teams, 12 programs.
And you were a pioneer, I think, in your own right, going back to your playing days. You were recruited out of Minnesota by our good mutual friend, Bob Durante. You played for Providence College and was part of the inaugural Hockey East championship team. I can remember it, but what I couldn't remember when I was doing the research on you, oh my God, this has been 20, that was 20 years ago, which is pretty amazing that it was that long ago, that the roots of Hockey East. I remember Brian DeRocha starting the program at BU and Bob at Providence, and can't believe it's been we've fast forward now 2 decades, Mel.
Yeah, I can't believe you said that. I should have colored my hair before this this podcast. But yeah, like, 20
I'm
years
sorry ago. About that. I brought too much of an historical perspective to that, but I didn't mean to offend anyone.
Tell you, Bernie, like if I was playing now, the pace of this game, the way women skate, the way women handle the puck, the way every one of them can shoot, I don't know that I would be playing at this level nowadays. It's remarkable. Like, and I think back to that time, like, we won my junior year, the final ECAC East-West, whatever it was, sorry for my memory. And then to play in Hockey East next year and win the first one, I think it was such a different world. Like, we were at Providence College, we were rivals with UNH, and there weren't, I mean, many of the teams that exist now didn't even exist back then. So it's amazing to see the growth of the game and to see, you know, so many more women who are coaching. I think the biggest thing that's been cool for me recruiting now at this age is I'm recruiting players who they look at their moms as their hockey idol, that they played college hockey, right, or they, you know, they grew up playing hockey. And that's awesome for me. Like, I know it's dating myself a little bit. Like, I think some of these kids could be, you know, they could be my kid's age, but like, it's really cool to see that women now are the model for their daughters in the game of hockey, not just sport, but in the game of hockey.
And Deb mentioned about Bob, you played for Bob and also had the opportunity to coach back at Providence. I suspect a big impact, big influence. And outside of hockey, I mean, all kidding aside, because I can't think of more of a gentleman and a better person. I did just put hockey aside than Bob Durante. I think I'm sure you feel your privilege to have the opportunity not only to play for him, but then to coach him. Just a good, good man when I think of Bob Durante, a guy that you could depend on in any situation.
Yeah, I think I take a lot of my coaching from playing for Coach Durante, similar to my dad. I think Coach and my dad are similar people in terms of service leadership, caring about people, doing things the right way. I think, you know, not just following rules, but like just really doing things the right way and doing it through care and holistically. And I think that's something that I grew up with my parents, being coached by my dad, and then, you know, going to Providence and playing for Coach Durante and like always having him see me as a person. I think that's something that I have to always do with our players, is make sure that they know that I see them. It's not just that they're a player on our team or they're a forward or they're a D or a goalie, that they're a young woman that's striving for so much. And so I've learned a lot having those mentors.
And upcoming this weekend, well, ho-hum, just another weekend at the ECAC. My goodness, you make a trip to the North Country, and on tap, you got Clarkson at 13-0-1, and you've got St. Lawrence at, what, 10-3. So your thoughts, I know we're talking to a coach, so one at a time, but just your overall thoughts as you get ready to bring the Bears up to hockey country, up to the North Country this weekend for the Clarkson Potsdam swing.
Yeah, I mean, we got to bring our very best, right? These are, once again, I feel like I'm saying this every weekend, but once again, two of the top teams in the country. I think Clarkson is a big, strong, mature team. You know, think of like, you know, they didn't even have Dawn Petrie really playing last year. She's a super senior grad student, and they've got a number of those and really, really talented players. And so well-coached team. Coach Trocher does an awesome job with his team. They play hard, but they also very skilled. So we know going into there, we got to be ready, play our very best. Then you turn it around the next day and you play an incredibly physical, big St. Lawrence team that also, I mean, they score goals in bunches, super talented. Both teams have really active D. They all can shoot, you know. So, yeah, you got to play a complete game, one game at a time, and do your very best. I think our team is ready. I mean, I think we have a fiery group. So I think there's some excitement about going on this trip and getting up there and seeing if we can get our first win on the road. I mean, that's the one thing we haven't done. We have not been as successful on the road yet, and we hope that this is the start of that.
Yeah, come close with some of the games. Quinnipiac 1-0, that you fell 1-0. So hopefully you can get that on track with Potsdam and Canton on the horizon. Mel, thanks very much. It was a pleasure to have the opportunity, not only to interview you, but to meet you today. I always like to make new friends in hockey.
Thanks, Bernie. Thanks for having me.
Mel Ruzzi, our guest here today, as she gets ready for the trip to the North Country with her Brown Bears, our guest here on Inside ECAC Hockey.
Thank you for listening to the Inside ECAC Hockey Podcast with Bernie Corbett. Follow ECAC Hockey on social media at ECAC Hockey across all platforms.